Welcome to the D1 Softball Podcast. It's a special episode. We are breaking down Selection Sunday. The field of 64 has been set. It was announced on Sunday evening. And boy, were we surprised. Tara Henry here, joined by Rhiannon Podkey. Rhi, how are you doing today?
I still don't know after last night. There was so much confusion that I'm still processing everything. It was a very eventful night for, you know, that late with softball, and just a lot of surprises, a lot of questions. We knew this season would be strange. We knew it would be hard to do the bracket because of COVID and all the different things, but I don't think I imagined this many questions coming out of it quite so much. It made for lively social media interaction last night, which I guess all news is, you know, good news for a sport. But yeah, I'm still trying to process all this, Tara. I've been looking over the bracket for hours and still, like, I'll make sense of one thing, but then it won't go to the other thing and it won't translate to this. So there's really no rhyme or reason for anything in some of them, which I guess is good.
Well, you know, we talked about this a little bit last night on the live IG, and I think the second I saw OU go up as the one seed, I thought they weren't going to follow the RPI. I really did.
That's what I thought. Yeah. I was like, if all the years for you not to, I mean, they're obsessed with the RPI. We know softball more than any other sport is obsessed with that thing. But I thought of all the years you really can't, it's this year. And they still did. And I'm like, you really can't, because it's not fair to the teams that weren't allowed to play out of conference. But somehow they just decided, we're still going to do it. Who cares?
Who cares? So we get OU at the one. Then we get UCLA at the two seed. Not surprised. Then Bama goes in at three. Florida goes in at four. And then I'm thinking, who's going to be the five? And that's Oklahoma State in at the five, right? I mean, I really am just, I'm at a loss for words at how this even happened.
We saw, I mean, the biggest thing, obviously the biggest, we've kind of written about the disrespect angle, which is every single coach in the history of the, you know, this bracket has some sort of, other than I think the SEC, but they'll still find out. They'll still say, hey, we didn't get all 13 teams. That's disrespect, because that's the SEC. So that's disrespect right there. Only 12, damn it. We didn't get 13. But Pac-12 and Big Ten, obviously. Pac-12, we was more vocal about it. We saw the Washington Huskies literally walk out of their bracket selection, and justifiably so, as the number 16 seed.
Arizona's name was called before Washington, and Arizona finished fifth in the pack.
Yeah, and we were talking about this too. The Pac-12 made no sense to me. And obviously they played, some could have played non-conference and some did, but they weren't allowed. They were pretty restricted in terms of COVID protocols and in terms of their conference, you know, where they could travel. So the one team that did, Arizona, I honestly think they hurt the pack by taking that Florida trip, because they lost games. And that was the data point, I think, that they measured against all the other Pac-12. Well, Arizona went and they lost to UCF. They lost to USA, you know, like, obviously you're not as good. So I think that ironically ended up hurting the pack more, when it was supposed to be like a helping thing to go out and play these tougher teams on the road. So, and then just,
but it hurt the pack, but then it benefited the Wildcats. So it was like,
yeah, it was just, like I said, everything that I was like, okay, well then, but there's no through line. It's like, oh, only for this. And then for this, it's different. But so it was just, I think they like wanted to piss off everyone in some way, but there are a few teams that weren't, like, you know, 'cause some got in. It was a celebratory time for a lot of people. And yeah, I think we don't want to overlook that, 'cause there was a lot of teams, like, you know, Northern Iowa and teams that got in, and Stanford got in from the pack. And so that was awesome to see all the teams celebrate. But we, you know, obviously the, you know, snub status of the Pac-12 and the Big Ten, which we kind of knew with the Big Ten only going conference only, that there was a high probability they would get a little bit slighted. And then the bigger one too, the biggest other than that, was Clemson getting shipped to Alabama, regular season champion. They don't have a strong schedule. We know that. It's the strength of schedule's weak. But just getting shipped to Alabama, of all places, it does bring up memories of Minnesota a few years ago being ranked one and then not getting to host. So, yeah, there's a lot. I mean, we could probably
dedicate. We haven't even talked about Texas and Oregon. I mean,
you know, that's just spicy. I mean, that's going to be obviously anyone that follows softball knows that Mike White was the Oregon coach before leaving to Texas, and basically the whole team transferred with him. So not the whole team, but a lot of people transferred with him. So, and some are still left. I mean, maybe, you know, if it hadn't been a COVID year, it might not have been as many remaining, but the good thing is there are still ones left and they're already talking trash on Twitter a little bit. So get ready down there, Longhorns and Ducks. It's going to be a brutal, you know, it's going to be fun.
I mean, Texas gets the 12 seed. Texas gets the seed. And you're thinking, oh my gosh, I am so just puzzled as to how it all happened. But I do think that Oregon-Texas series is going to be just one that everybody needs to have their eyes on, because there's some extra stuff that's going on behind the scenes that's going to make that, like you said, Ree, extra spicy. We talked about this a little bit on d1softball.com. What is your regional to watch? Like, what's your regional pick to where you're thinking, okay, if I got to make sure I catch one regional, which regional is that going to be for you?
Well, I think I would go, you know, there's a lot. I mean, to be honest, there's a few that just piqued my interest. The Alabama regional, just because Clemson's there, I really want to see Clemson. They, like I said, the strength of schedule, but I do think they're, I mean, they have quality players. I think they're a good team. It's going to be interesting to see that regional. I really, you know, Alabama State, obviously, you know, not, but Troy's a decent team. They've got a great pitcher. They'll play Clemson. I'm also looking at, I mean, to be honest, LSU's regional with Louisiana and McNeese State, that's a good one. It's very regional. I mean, George Washington's got to feel like really weird being there. Like, who are, you know, we're the only one. Like, it's all like, let's have a crab boil and then invite George Washington. Like, I, you know, that's an interesting one. And then right here in my backyard, the Tennessee, it might not be as, it's definitely not Power Five heavy. I mean, Tennessee's hosting, they're the 9 seed. But, I mean, we got James Madison coming here, JMU, and Liberty, and Eastern Kentucky. All really, really reputable mid-major programs. So I think that's going to be very competitive, from the competitive side of things. Very, very interesting. That one piques my interest, too. Yeah, those are the main ones that jumped out to me. I mean, I think there's a lot you can, you know, if things play out certain ways, some of them could be very, you know, others than – it could be interesting. And then the Washington, Michigan, if that happens with the matchup there. Again, there's like, I'm trying to go with ones that all four teams maybe have something to bring. Some of these are really interesting once we get to maybe the final game or, you know, the second round. So those are the ones that jumped out right to me right away. How about you?
Yeah, I think that Michigan, Washington regional, like you said, you got the two arms at Michigan, Megan Bobby and Alex Strocco against Gabby Plain. And like you said, Washington walking out, I'm sure they're going to be fired up and ready to go for that regional. And also I think OU, that as a one seed, I don't think their region is a cakewalk. They've got Texas A&M and Wichita State there, and Morgan State as well. So as a one seed, that's a pretty tough little bracket. And
over under on the number of home runs hit in that bracket. Wichita State and Oklahoma lead the country. A&M's got Haley Lee, I mean, and Herzog. I mean, obviously there's good pitchers on both sides, you know, on some of these teams, but I mean, my goodness.
20 between the four teams?
Well, in all those games, yeah. I mean, it's going to be crazy. It's going to be a – I mean, Oklahoma may hit 20 alone in one game. We know that. But, like, they're always good for that. But it's going to be – that's going to be a very – it's funny because that one, then you compare with the UCLA regional, it's a complete pitchers. Like,
yeah.
So it's kind of to compare those, you know, it's the hitting and then the pitching regional. And again, all these have both, but that just kind of stands out to me as like the arms in the UCLA regional, the bats in the Oklahoma regional.
Yeah. And that UCLA regional, like you said, we got Megan Faramo, Rachel Garcia for UCLA. And then Minnesota, we did the pitcher circle with both Autumn Pease and Amber Pfizer. And then we've got Haley Dulcini from Fresno State. who will be there as well. Pitcher's duel. And then I don't know if you watched this week, Ree, the Big West Championship between Cal State Fullerton and Long Beach State, but it was epic. Long Beach had to win all three games and end up getting that automatic bid for the first time in a long time in the Big West. And Kelly White of Long Beach State, she threw every pitch against Cal State Fullerton and swept the Titans. So that'll be a pitcher's duel there. And then we head over to Florida, Ree. We've got in Gainesville, you know, it's a typical Florida regional. And, you know, they've got a little bit, it got a little bit of a challenge there, but you got Baylor, South Alabama, and South Florida. What do you got, Ree, on that number four seed, Florida?
Yeah. I mean, Baylor's entering on a very downswing. I mean, they ended the season really poor. I mean, so they're, I think that, you know, South Alabama's got Olivia Lackey, the pitcher. She's a decent arm. And then obviously USF with Georgie, with Corrick is my thing is like, you know, if you win that first game and you only have one pitcher, that's fine. It's going to be, and that could take you all the way. It's if you start to get into like you lose and you have to play your way through, then it's like your backups have to play. So, you know, USF and South Alabama could be definitely contenders if they win, you know, those first games. Because they can probably go back to their ace for that next day. You know, that's the goal from a lot of these programs. Same with, you know, to be honest, Washington, like they can't afford to lose because we've seen they don't have any, I mean, their depth is just, it's really poor this year, the pitching. And I think the committee took that a little bit into, you know, consideration too, is, I mean, I don't think a lot of people have seen Washington play as much this year. They haven't been, you know, as good. Let's be real. I mean, they haven't been as good. They weren't a 16 seed bad, but they haven't been as good because the pitchers behind Plain haven't been as good. But so Florida regional, I think Florida will be motivated. Obviously, not, you know, winning the SEC, but getting a host still as a four seed is great. But it's not easy. I mean, USF, you know, that's their first game. They play right away. And USF, if you have an arm like that, you're never out of a series. I mean, they squeeze in as an at-large, but still, don't put that past and have a good coach and a good ace like that, you know. But Baylor needs to turn it around. They've had a really, really, really bad end to the season here.
Yeah, and then we head to Stillwater for the number five seed, Oklahoma State, Kenny Gajewski, and the Cowgirls. We've got Carrie Eberle in the circle and Kelly Maxwell. We got Fevery, Pennington, Busby, just a prolific offense over there. And I'm interested to see how Mississippi State does because Ree, in the beginning of the season, we had Mississippi up higher and then they underperformed all season long. And then they've hit their stride lately. I mean, I've been super impressed with their play as of late.
Yeah, they lost their first 13 SEC games. It was like, whoa. But they came on down the stretch, man. They give them credit. They, you know, they enter the SEC tournament hot. They won a game there. They definitely did. They earned their way. I honestly, before they went on that 8-game win streak, I don't think they were going to, I think them and South Carolina were both going to get left out. And then they ended up making some noise and won some good games. They swept that made up doubleheader against Tennessee. So they're finally kind of living up to the expectations. They have a great lineup. They've got quality pitching. It's not like, obviously they don't have an ace of it, like some of the, you know, shutdown aces, but they have a deeper pitching staff and that lineup should be able to mash and they're starting to hit better. So yeah, I'm interested to see, they're going to be going against the Boston U, which is Allie DuBois, who, if you don't know who she is, you should probably find out, one of the top pitchers, really, really a great ERA this year. And, granted, not the competition of like an SEC team, but that's going to be interesting first round matchup there.
Yeah. And then heading to the sixth seed, Arkansas, the Razorbacks against Manhattan, South Dakota State, and Stanford. Stanford, they've got a great freshman rookie pitcher in Alana Vauder. They have been playing really well in the pack. They played some tough, tough games and just really impressed with Jessica Allister and the job she's done there, because Ree, you did a story in the fall about how Stanford has been training. Well, they didn't practice in the fall. So the fact that Stanford is in the tournament right now, I'm just really impressed with what she's done there.
Yeah. The restrictions they had were, you know, we documented, like you throw it, you can't throw it to first base because it's a one touch household and they only had like five people. And they had a group of freshmen live together in Colorado to train. It was so, yeah, all props to Stanford, man, because they've, and you can see it with their other sports. They're usually pretty, their other sports, other than women's basketball, which won the national title, but some of their other minor sports kind of fell off a little bit. And I do think it's because of the COVID protocols and all the things and the craziness with their athletic department cutting sports. So credit to the softball team for staying focused and really, you know, staying on task and competing and really just being very consistent. I mean, you know, they were in every series and they got better as the season went on too. You could see it in their results.
Yeah. And Arkansas with Mary Half, and Braxton Burnside. Braxton didn't play in that last game. Is there any update on what's happening with Braxton Burnside? Is she going to be ready for regionals?
They didn't. I mean, it sounded like she would just because I think they were playing it safely, but you never know. They basically said she was day to day. It didn't, you know, when you were kind of reading the hints that were dropped and it seemed like it maybe wasn't super serious, but again, maybe they're just trying to, you know, not let other opponents know that it is. But she was in the dugout all the games there. And so, which wasn't long, they didn't stay super long in that, obviously got upset in their first game, but so hoping she's back. I mean, there's been nothing definitive said yet as of today when we're taping this.
And then we had to Baton Rouge. We talked about that LSU regional at number 7. We went over that. And then the 8 seed is Missouri, who we all think probably has the easiest road to the College World Series. They're paired up with Tennessee at the 9 seed. What are your thoughts, Ree, on the Columbia regional with Mizzou?
Yeah, I mean, it's not like any of these are walkover teams. You and I, Sammy Bunch, they have, and really happy for Iowa State. They hadn't made it since 1988, and they have Sammy Williams, who came back for the season. She's one of our favorites. She was a podcast guest. She's just a good kid. She already has a job at Boeing. I mean, good Lord, like she could be, you know, they're probably all cheering her on in Boeing's facility, waiting for her to get done with softball. So she's in that region. So, I mean, it's those are all, and they all celebrated like crazy when they got their bids because it was exciting. So props to them, but definitely one of the Missouri should win this regional. They're at home. They get to host first time in this stadium, second time overall, but this is a new stadium they haven't been able to, you know, have one there yet. They will have fans, which is exciting. So I think, you know, the way they're playing, they finished strong down the stretch. They really just a gritty bunch. Larissa Anderson's always got her team motivated to play and they're really excited. We had obviously Kendall Bailey on last week to talk about it. So I do think they have, it's all set out in front of them and it's theirs to lose. So someone's gonna have to beat them because they do have, I never like said call anything easy, but easier than some of the other regionals.
Yeah, I mean, nothing's easy, but if you're looking at a path to OKC, not as difficult.
And then you know, what a story that would be though, because they weren't even like, they were banned from postseason. Right? So that would be a great story. I mean, let's just put, I'd love to, you know, it'd be fun. So if they did make it, they kind of good karma there.
So that's Mizzou. And then Tennessee are in your neck of the woods, Ree. Tennessee's got that 9 seed with Eastern Kentucky, JMU, and Liberty, which I think is going to be a great little regional as well.
Yeah, it's like the tough mid-major regional in Tennessee. Like you just add, you know, and Eastern Kentucky comes here a lot. They kind of get sent here for it's, you know, there's certain teams that just kind of know, I think, before like, oh, we're going to this regional again, because they just know if they host, we'll go there. Eastern Kentucky's kind of one of those. Liberty and the Weeklies, the coach of Tennessee, have a pretty good relationship with Dot Richardson. Ralph Weekly always has fun Olympic stories involving Dot that could or could not be true. I wonder. I've asked Dot some of them, like apparently she saved a man's life while she was at a playing infield, and he like, because she was a doctor and she ran the stands and did like cardiac arrest. But then I asked her and she didn't remember it. So it's just like these fun things that Ralph comes up with. So I'm interested to hear the stories that come out of there too, between those two. But yeah, Liberty with the Bishop twins, the sisters, JMU with Odyssey Alexander and Kate Gordon. Just some really, really quality players here. And Tennessee, you know, made a really good run in the SEC. I think that bumped their seed up a little bit with Ashley Rogers being a warrior. She having a bad back and a thumb that was, or a finger that was just bandaged up. And even without her in the circle, they gave Alabama all they could handle. So I think that's going to be a really sneaky good regional.
It was just a warrior in the circle for Tennessee. I mean, at one point, it looked like she was could barely stand.
Yeah, it, that wasn't an easy injury. I mean, she missed all last season, and it was not just like, hey, my back's sore. And I've talked to her extensively about it, just the injury, and she's actually doing kind of a study. She wants to get into medicine, and she's kind of doing a study on some of those back overuse injuries with pitchers in college softball that she's, you know, with a professor, she's kind of pairing with him that, so it'll be interesting. She's kind of, you know, talking to some of her friends in the business and in the sport, I should say, about kind of some of the injuries they've had. And she wants to kind of pool together a sample size. So it'll be interesting. She's using her own injury status as like an experimental study for class credits, which is pretty awesome.
She's just phenomenal in general. So that's the Tennessee regional at number 9. And then we head to Tallahassee. Florida State has the 10 seed, and they'll be hosting Auburn, UCF, and Kennesaw State. You know, UCF was in and out of the top 25 all year long and have just done, you know, they've played some really big games and won some really big games, and then they've lost some really bad games. So it's
They seem to play to the level of their competition, which I guess in the postseason can be good once they get past maybe that first round. I don't, you know, I'm trying to debate. I don't know. Yeah. That's a team that'll battle. I mean, Cindy Ball Malone, the funny thing about them was that if you saw their selection show, half their team was stuck in Oklahoma because their flight got canceled. So half the team celebrated in Florida and half the team was still waiting in Oklahoma and they watched the show. So it was like, they didn't get to celebrate together. It was just kind of a weird quirk, but hopefully they'll all be back together to just bus to Florida State. I'm interested to see. They've obviously got, you know, Gianna Monca, Aaliyah White. They've got the pitchers. They've got everything they need. And they have won the big games. So, and FSU, let's be honest, their offense is really lacking this year. They have not been able to get, they've got a great pitching staff. The run generation has been hit or miss. So that they're definitely capable of being beat down there.
Yeah. So keep an eye on that. And Auburn's there too, as well. And they played some tight matchups as well. So Auburn
and FSU are like almost the same team when that, I mean, they don't score runs and they've got great pitchers. So that could just be, it could be like a 14, 15 inning game. Like no one's going to score. It'll be 0-0 forever.
Is it going to be a proper pitchers duel? Another one, that side of the bracket has loads of pitching.
If they meet up, it will be. Those are very similar teams in terms of their lack of offense and relying on, you know, quality pitching. Auburn's pitchers just happen to be freshmen, which is a tough thing to have in a NCAA debut here. But Shelby Lowe's been, you know, mature beyond her year.
Oh,
yeah. So great one there too.
And then we head to Arizona, the number 11 seed, which we were all shocked, I think, when Arizona was called at the 11. But they've got Ole Miss, Villanova, and UMBC. It's going to be, you know, I think Arizona will get out of this regional. They've had some pitching issues as of late. They can hit. It's just whether or not they do hit. It just depends on the game.
Yeah. Well, the good thing is they're at home. They don't really lose to unranked teams at home this year. They've lost to a ranked team at home, we saw, but no unranked teams. So that could be a good thing going for them. They've that side has been strong with that. And you're right. Their pitching seems to be, I mean, like,
they got Hannah Bowen, and she's a straight up competitor.
It's changed from what we anticipated going in, but I think they're starting to find it right now. It's just that they found it quick enough. You know, it's like, I think he's more happy with it now and kind of figures out who's the ace, who's not. But they definitely can hit when they, you know, and we see, especially at home. So that is a huge benefit, and they're going to have fans there. So that'll benefit them too. And you know, they're getting Reyna Carranco's, she's been back, and it seems like she's getting, you know, better and better with that, you know, finger injury she had. So they have the lineup. It's just, you know, like you said, getting that pitching staff all in a line and figuring out like whose roles is what.
Yeah, so that's Arizona at the 11 seed. Then we move to Texas at the 12 seed. We already talked about Texas and Oregon. Keep an eye on that regional in Austin. So that's the 12 seed. And then
that's a Kat Osterman special too, because Texas State is there as well. So
that's just right.
Yeah, she was a coach at Texas State, and then she played at Texas. So she'll have interest beyond just the Oregon-Texas feud.
That's right. Texas State, they're they're a tough team too. That's going to be a tough little regional.
Yeah, Jessica Mullins, their pitcher, quality pitching. Yeah, they're not, you know, that they, and they're battle tested. That, you know, their conference this year was tough. So it's not like they're, and they played some good non-conference games, because when you're in Texas, you can do that. Like, you can get around to get some big schools.
So that's Texas at the 12 seed. Then we head to Duke at the 13 seed, but they will not be hosting. Ryu tweeted this earlier, just so everybody could understand and clarify. Duke did not get one of the predetermined sites, and they did not bid for one either. Is that correct?
They did bid. No, they submitted a bid. They did bid. They did not get selected. And, you know, part of it, Duke's not allowing fans. That could have contributed. They have a smaller stadium. They don't say this, and it shouldn't hold it against schools, but you don't know. I'm going to go into this. Smaller stadium, they won the ACC tournament, but those bids were due before, like 2 weeks before that. So I think my belief is that if Clemson had won the ACC tournament, they would have hosted. I just kind of believe that. I think they would have gotten a seed maybe just because it would have, but I think once they lost that, then it was like, okay, then we'll stick Duke and Georgia. So it kind of did some miscegenation. So I think that kind of put a crimp maybe in some of the committee's plans, which they didn't seem to handle too well with where they sent different teams. But so Duke did bid, but, you know, I don't know the reason they were rejected, but I did talk to I contacted Coach Marissa Young, and she said they did submit a bid. They were not selected. So they get sent to Georgia.
So they did bid, but they weren't selected for the predetermined sites, which was new this year because of the COVID. And so they are now being sent to Athens, and Georgia will host. Thank you, Ree, for clarifying that, because I know that was a question mark for a lot of people and a lot of our listeners. Then we head to Lexington, the 14 seed, Kentucky, Northwestern, Miami, Ohio, and Notre Dame. This is a sneaky tough regional as well.
I like this regional too. Yeah.
Notre Dame, Holloway in the circle for Notre Dame is just
Peyton Kidd and Holloway. Yeah. And Abby Sweet there. She's coming back. She announced she's coming back for another year, which is exciting for softball.
Go ahead.
Yeah, no, and Northwestern's got pitchers. We know that it's going to be and Kentucky can mash. We know that. So it's going to be, I like this regional too. And Miami of Ohio, Courtney Viestra, I mean, she's there. So it is, and there's some good pitching here too. It's going to be that's another sneaky one that I, you know, like I said, all these have like intriguing storylines in all of them for me. Yeah.
So that's Lexington, the 14, or Kentucky at the 14 seed. And then we head on over to the 15 seed, Arizona State, the Tempe Regional, Southern Illinois, BYU, and Virginia Tech. We've got Keely Richard and the Hokies heading out to Tempe. They'll give them a run for their money. I mean, obviously, Arizona State has that prolific offense. They hit the ball. They've got the hack bars. They've got Royalty and Lopez in the circle. And then you've got the Virginia Tech Hokies with Keely Richard. So I think that's a nice mashup. And BYU and Southern Illinois. Ree, anything else on the Tempe Regional?
Just to remind people, starting Thursday because of BYU. That's the only one that's Thursday. BYU cannot play on Sundays because of the Latter-day Saints religion, Mormon, which are some people call them. I covered BYU as a beat for the newspaper out there for a while. Love, just, it's so many fun things with the BYU. And just because of that, I know Arizona is actually a huge, huge fan base there of BYU fans. A lot of their athletes come out of Arizona. So there could be ones if they, you know, depending on the capacity, they get in and support their Cougars down there. I think that'll be a well-attended regional, because Arizona State already has some pretty faithful fans there. So, Richard, obviously, and there, she's the definition of a workhorse. Virginia Tech does not mind pitching her every day, all day, every inning, all innings, if possible. So she'll be in the circle, I think, for every game if they have their way.
And the Sun Devils are paired up. So they're the 15. They're paired up with UCLA. So potential Arizona State UCLA matchup in the Supers. And then last but not least, Washington with the 16 seed, which we've gone over at length.
I think Heather Char is going to talk to the media Wednesday. So we'll see what else that comes. She was on a radio show yesterday. It sounded like she was pretty level-headed about it. I think there's, you know, obviously we know that Heather Char does not need any external motivation, and she will take all affronts to women and mankind that come and use that. So this is, it might be right in their wheelhouse, to be honest. They could, you know, scorched earth in terms of disrespect. Mighty are the women up there in Washington. So watch out.
Yeah. So potential super regional matchups. You've got Oklahoma, Washington. We've got UCLA, Arizona State, Alabama, Kentucky, Florida, and Duke. So those are the top four seeds. And then we've got
Oklahoma State is the five.
I'm like, where are we at? Oklahoma State at five.
It's been a late night for Tara there, man. Late night. Oh,
gosh. Oklahoma State and Texas at five. Then we've got Arkansas and Arizona at 6 and 11. And then LSU and Florida State with the 7 and 10 seeds. And the 8 and 9, which I think is going to be, if this happens, an all SEC 8-9 with Missouri and Tennessee. Ree, out of those supers, which one are you most intrigued by?
If that happens, I mean, I'm not necessarily, who knows if that's going to happen. I mean, I just want to get other regionals. I'm not jumping ahead too quick. We can discuss that next week.
How about, I mean, who do you think could possibly upset in any of those teams? And what regional do you think a possible upset could come through?
Yeah, that's going to be the interesting question. I'm looking. Louisiana's got an outside chance at LSU. They got an outside chance. That Oregon over Texas, if Oregon's pitching shows up, they're not trending in the right direction. So I think Oregon could come out of that region right there. I want to go with Duke, but Georgia being on their home field, if they're playing the way they played against Oklahoma that one game, but you just don't know if they're going to, because they go up and down. They've been very down lately. They've lost a ton of games in a row. Yeah. So there's no guarantee they'll turn it around, but, you know, playing in your home field, Duke's in the field for the first time as a program in their fourth year. But I still would go with Duke. You know, Duke started on the road and beat LSU at the start of the season. So it's kind of coming full circle for them. Another SEC team in the SEC house. Maybe they'll go do it again. So I'm not picking Georgia to upset them, but you can't put it past when you're playing at someone else's home facility. Yeah, those are the and Michigan over, you know, Michigan over Washington. I mean, that's one that I like, Michigan. If you got two pitchers like that, you're in every game. And their offense is, granted, we don't know what it's like outside the Big Ten, but they have hit better this year. But just having Booby and Starocco, I mean, they don't need much. So
yeah, Lexi Blair has done a nice job for the Wolverines. And that would be, I think for me, that Michigan-Washington is going to be, it's going to be a tough road out of there. But whoever does get out of there is going to be ready and roaring to go for Oklahoma if Oklahoma gets out of that one seed, which we're assuming that they do. All right. Well, that's pretty much it. That's our breakdown of the bracket. Ree, any final thoughts regarding Selection Sunday?
No, I mean, I knew going into the season it wasn't going to be a fair process. I mean, it can't be when teams aren't playing non-conference. There was just no right way to do it fairly. I mean, there was more questions than I ever anticipated. There's so much unknown because of that still. Like, I still feel like I don't really know the Big Ten that much. Like, I know who looks good, but when they're playing, who they're playing against. So I think it's just super intriguing because, like, there's not as many data points as there have been in past seasons. So that's what's exciting to me, is like some of this is going to be like, we've never seen some of these teams compete against teams like this. So we don't know, like some of these could be like really good teams that just where their conference was so good that they were just, you know, that didn't look as good as they do when they play out of conference. So I think this year is more intriguing than ever. And then we've got all these drama, spicy disrespect. So it's going to be like fire everywhere, and there's going to be a lot of, like, I think it's, you know, it's not good. I would rather they do a really competent bracket, but we knew it was going to be somewhat chaotic anyways, so might as well have people doing like scorched earth, like we're disrespected, and then march all the way to, you know, the Women's College World Series, and people are going to be tuning in like crazy because they missed it last year. And so I think it's fun. I think it's going to set up for a fun thing. And I'm excited. I'm really excited for these games. I don't want to miss any of them, but I'm going to miss a few because they're all on at the same time, some of them. So, but I'm just excited to see what emerges from this weekend, because I think there's going to be some surprises, and I think there's going to be some cool stories to come out of it.
The good news is we've got coverage for you on d1softball.com. We've got going to have breakdowns of every single regional. And this is the time to subscribe to the site because you can't really get what we're doing anywhere else. And just really proud of our team with Ree and Graham. And it's just been a fun season. And I think if you said at the beginning we'd be complaining about Selection Sunday, you'd have said, we would have said to ourselves, ourselves a long time ago, that don't be complaining. You just be happy you have softball. I mean, be happy that we have a postseason and be happy that we have softball on television. All of those things, I think we need to step back and take a look at and just be thankful and grateful that we are even blessed with a postseason. And because it didn't look like we were going to have it. We didn't look like we were going to have softball.
I think we have a story up kind of talking about how the disrespect is spread far and wide this year and everyone can claim it. And I think I put the bottom, like, I guess this shows we're healing a little bit because everyone's griping again. We're all still grateful to be playing, but we're not quite enough grateful to still not bitch about it. But I think if you had told everyone last year, they would have been, I don't need to be seated. Send me anywhere. Send me to the moon. I'll play like 7-game series back to back, no rest. But because we're like griping now, it shows that we're starting to heal a little bit. That's not a bad thing.
It's not. Well, that is our special episode breaking down the Field of 64. Thank you all for joining us. Subscribe, like to d1softball.com. Rate us on wherever you get your podcast. And let us know if you have any questions. You can email us at info@d1softball.com. And hey, let's get going on this postseason. I'm super excited.
Me too. Let's go.
All right. We will see you next week on the D1 Softball podcast.